Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
About 21 years ago, my wife and I were preparing to have our first child. We knew the baby would be a boy, and we were deciding on a first name to give him. We knew it was important because his name would stick with him for the rest of his life. We came up with options and then applied a variety of tests. Test one, the has my wife ever dated someone with this name test? Because if she has, that name is out. Test two, the how will other kids make fun of him for the name test? Like Trajan was one of my favorites until my wife pointed out the obvious condom association. Test three, the what does the name actually mean test? We had almost settled on Cade until my wife learned it means lumpy. Test four, the banana Fanta test, for which we sang each name out in song. Cade, Cade, Bobade, banana Fanta, Fofade, me, my, Momaid, Cade. The purpose of the test is to see if the name leads to unintended cursing. This test eliminated Mitch, Buck, and, of course, Fastard. Well, finally, we agreed on a first name, Dawson. We made his middle name, Cade. Apparently, it's fine with my wife if he's lumpy in the middle, just like his daddy. Today, we're going to think about our names, about our identity, as we begin a brand new series called Different. We're going to see how important identity is. How you think about you may be the most important thing about you. And if you struggle to keep New Year's resolutions or to reach your goals, I think today you're going to learn why. If you don't really want to pray, I think today you're going to learn why. And if you're not sure God loves you, I think today should answer that too. In this new series, we're going to go through a book of the Bible called 1 Peter. Today will be more of an introduction. In fact, we're going to focus on just three verses of over 100 verses in this book. Man, I am excited because this is really practical, life-changing stuff. So let's dig in. The first three verses of 1 Peter say this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. Exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. 1 Peter is a book of the Bible. The Bible isn't really a book. It's a collection of 66 books. And 1 Peter started out as a letter that Peter wrote. And his letter begins, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The first word of this letter is a name, Peter. That's who wrote it, Peter. But why does he start with his name? Well, back then they would read scrolls. And so they would unroll the scroll so you'd see the beginning, but you couldn't see the end till you got to the end. And so if he had just signed it at the end, love Peter, XOXO, hugs and kisses, well, you'd have to read the whole thing before you knew who sent it. So he starts out, Peter. Who is Peter? Well, Peter was a fisherman. He was probably uneducated, but this is a sharp dude. And then one day, Jesus invited Peter off his fishing boat to become a follower of his. For 3 years, Peter rolled with Jesus. But we get to see a lot of him in the Bible. Peter's been called a bundle of contradictions. It's true. He was the first to confess Jesus and the first to deny him. Jesus called him a rock on which he'd built the church, and Jesus called him Satan. We meet Peter's mother-in-law in the Bible, but there's never any place where we meet his wife. Wait, what? How does that work? So it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle means sent. So Jesus called him to follow, helped him to find new life, trained him, and then sent him out, sent him to help other people discover Jesus, and so he could be a leader in the church. By the way, if you roll with Jesus, you are sent. You get a new life, you get some training, you grow, and then you're sent to help other people discover Jesus and to be a leader in the church. So we think Peter wrote this letter in the early 60s, maybe as late as 65 AD. So about 30 years after Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, went back to heaven. Speaking of crucified, that's what happened to Peter too. Church history tells us around 5 years after writing this, Peter was martyred for his faith. He was to be crucified, but told his tormentors he did not deserve to die like Jesus did. And so he begged them to flip his cross upside down. They did, and he died upside down, blood rushing to his head and out of the holes where they had driven spikes through his body into the cross. That's Peter. Well, let's talk about the people who received this letter. Peter is writing to hurting Christians. This was during the reign of Nero in Rome. Nero was ruthless in his torture of Christians. Nero set fire to the city of Rome. It's believed he wanted to rebuild it bigger and better, but people did not like that the city was burning down, and so he needed someone to blame, and he blamed the Christians, and he began to persecute them. He would have Christians sewn into the skins of wild animals and hunted by dogs until they were killed. He would have Christians covered in wax and light them on fire as a way to illuminate his gardens. That's who Peter's writing to. Christians who are seeing this, who have friends, who are victims of this, who are afraid they might be next. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to respond. And can you imagine? Listen, this is an emotional letter. This is real, raw. And I want to tell you, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you're afraid, this letter is for you. If you need hope, this letter is for you. If you feel like you have no good options, you don't know what to do, this letter is for you. So, what does Peter say to these people? What would Peter say to you? He starts with their identity. Of course he does. It has to start with identity. After introducing himself, Peter writes, "To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen." It starts with who they are. He tells them, you are different. You are different from what you used to be. You are different from what you think you are. You are different from other people. He says, you are the elect. You're exiles. You are the scattered. You are the chosen. And we're going to dig into what those words mean, what they say about you. But first, why did Peter start this way? I said, you have to start with identity. Why? Well, you have to start with identity because everything flows from identity. Your whole life flows out of who you think you are. Your behavior flows from your identity. If you try to tell someone how to live or how to behave, and it doesn't flow from who they are, it is not going to work. Do you know that? Do you know that what you do is determined by what you think of you? What you do is determined by what you think of you. And that's not just my opinion. God says that. Like in Proverbs 23:7, God says, "For as he thinks within himself," as you think within yourself, so he is. And And you don't have to believe the Bible to believe that. It's proven. Social scientists study why people make the decisions they do. And they tell us that very few decisions are made by analyzing costs and benefits and making a list of pros and cons. Even when we think that's what we're doing, it's like, that is what I'm doing. Not really. Subconsciously, we make our choices based on what James March calls the identity model. March, a professor at Stanford University, says when making a decision, we essentially and subconsciously ask ourselves three questions. Who am I? What kind of situation is this? And what would someone like me do in this situation? Or, in other words, what you do is determined by what you think of you. Your decisions and your behavior flow from your identity. There's a great example of this in the Bible. There was a guy named John. People called he and his brother the sons of thunder. He was known for being tough and aggressive. And he becomes a follower of Jesus. Like he spends all of his time with Jesus. At one point, we see him ask Jesus if he can call down fire from heaven to destroy people he was angry at. Why would he want to do that? Because that's who he was. That's how he thought of himself. He was a son of thunder. What you do is determined by what you think of you. But he spends 3 years with Jesus, and he realizes that he is not who he thought he was. He is different. In fact, he stops calling himself a son of thunder. He stops calling himself John, and he starts calling himself the one Jesus loves. Like he wrote books in the Bible, and whenever he talks about himself, he calls himself the one Jesus loved. And if you read his books, man, they are all about love. Love, 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 love. Love God, love people. Love is all you need. All you need is love. And in fact, people start calling him the apostle of love, which was like what I called myself when I used to be a rapper. It was like my rapper name, the apostle. No, I'm just kidding. But like, why would John live like that? Why would he tell people to live like that? Because that's who he was. That's how he now thought of himself. He was the one Jesus loves. What you do is determined by what you think of you. So Peter starts with who they are, with who we are. You have to start with identity. He tells us, you're different. You are different from what you used to be, from what you think you are. He says, you are the elect. You're exiles. You're the scattered. You are the chosen. What do those words mean? Well, he says, you're God's elect, the chosen. He says, to God's elect. And elect, we know it means someone who's been elected, right? We will say a president-elect or senator-elect. It means they were elected. They were chosen. Think about that, because that's you. God chose you. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been not chosen? Maybe on the playground at school, like you were the last pick. Or you tried out for a team and you didn't make it. Or no one asked you to prom. And not being chosen, it's the worst. And maybe it left you feeling like you're the type who just doesn't get chosen. No, that is not who you are. God has chosen you. You might have certain, what you perceive as deficiencies that you believe make you not someone God would be interested in. Man, if you think that, you've got to read the Bible. And here's why. All through the Bible, we see God picking people who others might not have picked. People who were considered too sinful, too fearful, or too just meaningless. That's who God chooses. And God chooses you. That's who you are. Peter says, you are chosen. What else does Peter say about them? He says they are scattered. He's writing to Christians who can't be together. And he says in verse 1, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Great, don't care, never heard of any of those places. Well, those were areas of what was called Asia Minor, which today is modern day Turkey, the country of Turkey. And he says to them, and he would say to us, you are scattered. Doesn't it feel that way? Like maybe you're the only Christian at your work, or you're the only Christian in your school or in your neighborhood. You feel alone, scattered. And right now, man, we can't even get together because of the quarantine, and so we really feel scattered. Soon, we'll be able to gather again, and we need that. In fact, Peter will say that in the next chapter. We'll talk about that in the next week or two. We need to gather, but we also need to scatter. Why? Well, think of it this way. Another thing Christians are called in the Bible is salt. Salt. Jesus said that. Jesus said, you're salt. And man, salt makes everything it touches taste better. I love salt. Christians are supposed to make everything they touch better through their joy, through their hope, through their compassion. But listen, salt can't do its thing if it's all gathered in the salt shaker, right? For salt to do its thing, it needs to scatter. And for Christians to do their thing, yeah, we need to gather, but we need to scatter. Peter's writing, you need to know who you are. You are chosen, you are scattered, and you are exiles. He writes, to God's elect, exiles, scattered. The word translated exiles in our English Bibles, it means someone who lives in a place that is not their home, or it can mean a stranger. And we'll talk about this more in the next week or so, but what he's saying is the world is not your home. You are a refugee. You live here, but you are not from here. Because the moment you become a believer, heaven becomes your true home. And isn't that awesome, right? I mean, if this was our home, if this was it, if this was all we have to look forward to, I am depressed. This is it. But because I know that this is not my home, and I have hope, right? We are exiles here, and because we're not from here, we're not going to live like everyone else. We have a different set of values and standards, different goals, because we are exiles. Heaven is our home. And we're going to talk more about that in a couple weeks as well. We are strangers here, and we will look strange to other people. Back in their time, during the Roman Empire, people were loose in bed and tight with money. But then here come these new Christians who are stingy with their beds and generous with their money. And everybody's like, what? Who are these people? Wait, you don't have sex with prostitutes? Only with your weird. Who doesn't do that? And wait, you give money away? For real? Why? Back then, Christians had values no one else had. People who didn't believe thought the Christians were strange. And it's not different today, right? If you follow Jesus, people are going to think your life is strange, for sure. And maybe it is. It's different, but it's also better. Peter says, you are chosen, you are scattered exiles. And then in chapter 2, the next chapter, he gives some more of their identity. He writes, You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. So he again says you're chosen, and then he says you are royal priests. It's like, what? Royal priest? Me? You? Yeah, you. Royal meaning you are a son or a daughter of the king. You are God's child. You are a prince or a princess. And that may not feel real to you, but that is real. That is who you really are. You are royalty. Man, that will change the way you think about yourself, won't it? You are royalty. You are royal priests. Why priests? Why are we priests? Well, a priest is someone who connects directly to God. In some faith traditions, you don't get to connect directly to God. You need a priest to be like your go-between. That's not Christianity. The Bible says that Jesus died to do away with what keeps us from God. And we now have direct access. You are a priest. Then he says, you are a holy nation. And we're going to talk about what that means and why that is such a cool thing later in this series. And then he says, you are God's very own possession. Wow. Think about that. Like, if you think you're not very special, not very important, not very valuable, beg to differ. You belong to God. This is my teddy bear from when I was a kid. If you look closely at it, it's a wreck. My mom had to like sew the eye back on. It's a wreck. And you can tell it didn't cost very much when it was new. Not only that, but like I carried it around everywhere as a kid. So it just got totally beat up. And you might have looked at this and thought, this is not worth anything. But it was to me. Like it meant everything to me. Its value was infinite to me. Why? Because it was mine. And you are God's. You are God's very own possession. And so maybe you've gotten beat up in life. You might not feel like you are worth anything. No, you mean everything. Your value is infinite. Why? Because you're God's. That's why he gave Jesus for you. You were worth that much to him. Well, last in these verses, Peter says that you are called. You are called out of the darkness into his wonderful light. When you look at Jesus' life, you see that he was always calling people. And he called people no one expected him to call. Listen, he didn't invite them to go backwards, to be fearful, to be judgmental, religious prudes. No, he called them out of darkness into his wonderful life. He called them to a new life, to a new way of living. And he called them to send them out on a mission. Man, if you knew God was calling you, like if you knew that Jesus was choosing you, calling you to do something, would that mean something to you? Yeah. And in this series, we're going to find out He is. So Peter starts out with identity. You've got to start with identity. What you do is determined by what you think of you. So Peter was telling them what he knew to be true about them. And I know that I am not Peter, but as your friend, as your pastor, I would love to do the same thing with you. Just tell you what I know about you. You were made in the image of God. You are not smart mud or a monkey wearing pants. You were divinely created, knit together with care by God in your mother's womb. And you don't have to believe that. I believe that for you. You were made in the image of God, which means you have value. I believe that you are not your guilt, not your sin, not your shame. You are not what you've done or what's been done to you. You are a person who Jesus died to save, which means you are now forgiven. Because Jesus died for you, because God is with you, I believe that you are not stuck. You are not a slave to your habits or your addictions. You are not a victim, and you are not done. I believe that you are new. I believe that God has great things in front of you, that you are royalty and you have a royal destiny. You are not common. You are not ordinary. You are destined for greatness and to make a difference with your life. That's who you are. You are chosen. You are royal. You are a priest. You are God's very own possession. You are called. Grace and peace are yours in abundance. You are loved, and nothing can separate you from God's love. You are the one Jesus loves. That was actually the very first thing I told my kids. Like when they were born and put in my arms and I held them for the first time, I said, "Do you know who you are? You are the one Jesus loves." I had to, because you have to start with identity. Everything flows from identity. I didn't start that way. And that's not the way I thought about myself growing up, but I learned it. And a few years ago, I wanted to keep myself focused on who I truly am. And so during a sermon, I actually got it tattooed on my arm. I got my identity tattooed on me. I got your identity tattooed on me, because that's who you are. You are the one Jesus loves. Let's pray to him together right now. Let's talk to God. God, thank you that everything starts with identity, and that we can discover our true identity in you. A lot of us struggle with this because we were told things about ourselves, because we've done things, we've had things happen to us, and it's easy for us to define ourselves by our past. But we are not defined by any of that. We are defined by you. And you tell us that we are chosen, we are elected, we may be scattered, but we are exiles. We don't belong here. We have a true home in heaven, and we are royal. We are priests. We have a direct connection to you, God. We have been called. We are called out of darkness into your light and into your love. We are the ones Jesus loves. God, would you help us to grab onto our identity? Because if we do, man, our life, our decisions, our behavior will flow out of it, and our lives will change. God, thank you for sending Jesus so we could know we are loved by you. And we pray in his name. Amen.